This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Do I want to get to Josh in Chicago real quick? Because he's talking about empathizing with Frank in Cleveland, who called in and said he's not going on the trip to Vegas now. He's not going to do it. Let me get to Josh, who's listening on the free Odyssey app in Chicago, Illinois. You're next up in the Fan. Hello, Josh.
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Morning to you. Go right on ahead.
I can sympathize with the way things are, you know, going, that you don't want to go to Vegas. I don't see why that's such a big deal personally. I think that I was just in Vegas. It was all right. But it's, you know, Vegas has its fun and you can go and do that. And then you can do football, but, you know, the Browns aren't playing so well right now. That might ruin the trip.
Well, this is a great thing, Josh. Like, let me put your city into this. I was like a child getting to go to Disney time. I never was into Disney, so going to Chicago was a big deal for me when I was a 35-year-old man. So I went with Lima, and I was so excited to go to Chicago. But we were on our way to Iowa State game, and they played Northern Iowa that day, and they squeaked out against Northern Iowa. And I did think, I have times I go, I didn't once in that game think that they were going to lose to Northern Iowa. But I go, what if they lost to Northern Iowa? What if that Notre Dame trip I went on last year, what if they would have lost to Wake Forest like they did to Northern Illinois? Like, it would kill it.
It would suck.
It would murder it. There's a lot of pressure on that.
We got crazed fans. So, you know, some guys take and some ladies take the losses real hard. And it just might not be, you know, they're just speaking out, hey, it might not be the best thing for my mental health to go out there. And I might look at my money and be upset about it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to call, sympathize, put a little light towards the listeners because, you know, Lima, no offense, buddy, had a little rough calls there earlier. So I just wanted to, you know, throw a little love back to the callers and say, you know, they're not all nuts. They're just trying to deal with life.
We enjoy the
call,
Josh.
Thank you for the
call. Come on, we love
the callers. Part of me still thinks that Will was getting you worked into a shoot, and it worked. But either way, I maybe I'm hoping so because that got kind of out there.
Will was playing you more than you play Matt.
Wow,
ooh, my goodness gracious! However, like Iowa State's expected to beat Northern Illinois when you go out there. Notre Dame was expected to beat Northern Iowa, and Northern Illinois was expected to be beaten by Notre Dame. Wake Forest, when we went, was expected to be beaten by Notre Dame. Every NFL game's a toss-up, so maybe you see it in a different sense, but it would dampen the trip if you spend all this money and like, man, I'm going to go to Vegas. We're going to do Vegas. I can't believe I'm going to do Vegas, and I get to go see the Brownies play. If they were like to go out there and they were like lose and get look bad doing it, and everybody's making fun of your quarterback and everybody's making fun of your coach as you walk out of the stands.
That's a good
point. Or if you're there with a bunch of Browns fans.
It's my thoughts on it because I thought, well, you still go to Vegas and have fun, right? And then you just don't go to the game. You're not going to fly to Vegas and then not go to the Browns game when the Browns are in town.
Are there directs anymore from Cleveland to Vegas?
There are a few, but not as many as there used to be.
All right, not as many as there used to be, but there's a few, which it means that you probably have a lot of fans on the same flight wearing brown stuff.
Oh, it's everybody. Yeah, for
so
sure.
So basically, you find yourself on a team plane in a lot of ways on the way back after a loss.
And, okay, that part of it would
suck. That would suck.
Let me tell you something, though. The flight going out, and I've been on many of those, and it's almost obnoxious. It was cool when you were younger, not so much when you are a little more mature. The clapping, the cheering,
the Taylor
drunkenness.
Swift singing.
Guys, people are so drunk on those flights to Vegas for the first time or just in general. And now you imagine everyone's rocking Browns gear and it's here we go, Brownies. You're not getting sleep on that flight. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome. but it would be an annoyance and or a sadness to go out there and see it. Because I imagine Vegas is a fun place. I really have no reason to go. I've never had a reason to go, but everybody loves it. It's America's playground for a reason. I know that I'm one of the odd men out. 216-474-0092. So I want to get to this UNLV thing coming up here in a bit. However, I asked you if we had a Ken Dorsey problem. How do we have a Ken Dorsey problem when we don't know what he does? Well, isn't that the Ken Dorsey problem? Because now we're forced to have all these answers about things that we don't know. And most of the answers, like, I'm sorry, I don't know how many people were really watching Browns-Giants on Sunday afternoon. Because there were some things that, I mean, we could sit there and just beat the drum and say how bad the quarterback is. But I'm going, well, wait a minute. We keep saying franchise QBs need to elevate our teams. What's Joe Burrow's excuse then? What's Dak Prescott's excuse then? And honestly, what about 2020 Deshaun Watson? Nobody was saying how he had to elevate that team. Everybody said that he was doing well in spite of that team, that the rest of that team had to raise themselves to his level. Now, 2020 Watson ain't coming back. However, I do think that a lot of people, there are some people breaking it down, and there are some concerning things about whether or not he can break down an offense, whether or not he can, or defense, whether or not he can make the right read. There's definitely concern there. I'm just trying to, in the spirit of fairness, call it down the line and go, have we gummed up the works more than we need to? And we are realizing that even three games in, are we gumming up the works more than we needed to with this quarterback who might need things simplified? We don't seem to know what we're doing from week to week.
Well, it's the fact that they, following the stretch run last year, end up acting like their offense was broke. When we all saw their offense, and yeah, against not the stiffest of competition, but we all saw all of a sudden things we hadn't seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after the year, you get rid of that quarterback, and then you also get rid of the offensive coordinator. That doesn't happen. And I said it at the time. Like, that doesn't happen around the league. Teams don't just get rid of the formula for what caused the entire city to jump up and down. Even if we all knew, if we were being honest with ourselves, yeah, the Flacco thing, that was a one-time thing. That was fun.
Oh, I thought he was starting to turn into a pumpkin.
Right,
I thought the jack-o'-lantern was starting to rot on the front
porch. And by the way, he played great in that first half. The second half, you know, the two pick sixes.
I have a lot of respect for Joe Flacco, but
we all knew. We're being honest with ourselves. That was not something you could come back with, especially.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
With the Watson stuff. But then to say, like, the offense is broke, well, you're basically saying we're desperate to find something that will make our quarterback look good because we've tried a bunch of stuff and it's not working.
Yes, and here we are. We're finding ourselves even more damn desperate than we are. And because we're so desperate, did we make the wrong decision here? Does Kevin Stefanski trust Ken Dorsey in this moment? Was he the one who ordered the code red and made that hire? I mean, you brought that up yesterday on the show. A lot of people have been talking to old Raj across the table from me. You brought that up on the show yesterday. Was that really Kevin Stefanski's choice? Was that something Kevin Stefanski was comfortable in doing, was letting go of Alex Van Pelt? Was that a necessary change? And three games into this, a lot of people are getting ready to call up and say, no, it wasn't a necessary change. Why do we do all this? Why do we do a sunk cost yet again to try to pull the nose up on this thing just because of the contract that's there? Like, these are questions that have to be faced. Or did we try to save something that maybe didn't need saving? Maybe Kevin Stefanski himself could have negotiated this offense. This is all coulda, woulda, shoulda, whataboutism. But that's where we're left right now with 1-2. And the major questions that we have to answer, big picture with this team already again. Because there's so much more at stake. If it was just him and a bunch of young guys, all right, we can try to get ready. There's age on this team. There's history on this team. There's guys that you can think whatever you want to think about the quarterback. There's guys who a lot of fans really adore. There's a running back. There's a defensive end. There's a cornerback on this team. There's a guard on this team that a couple of guards on this team that fans really like. People like the players. The tight end, who has been through the ringer with this fan base over his career and has come out on the other side and has been a fan favorite. You know, his future is here. His legacy is hinging on this. And right now, you're failing each other. Whether it be coaching, I cannot come from the game on Sunday or even the game two Sundays ago and say that it's all on the quarterback. I have to share the blame with the coaching. I have to share the blame with the quarterback, but I have to share the blame on what was your decision process in doing all of this over this offseason? What was that? Because I still keep going back. He doesn't show it. He was very quick to say that Deshaun Watson was going to play on that Saturday game against Seattle. Why? He knew he needed time with the offense. He knew he needed that. And the worst thing that could have possibly happened against Minnesota, where guys ended up being injured. And that Jed Wills wasn't ready to come back still. 216-474-0092. John in Ohio. You're next up on the Fan. Yellow.
How are we doing?
We're doing okay, John. Go ahead.
Same state.
Yep, same state.
A few things. All right, my roommate, he's a Bills fan. Last year they had Ken Dorsey. His biggest complaint about the offense was they didn't run the ball enough. As soon as they fired Ken Dorsey, they started running the ball again with James Cook. They had great success. This year, what have we not done enough in 3 weeks we started with the season? Haven't ran the ball enough. I think Ken Dorsey's idea is rubbing off on Stefanski. I think it's bad for the offense. We're just a joke at this point. The Steelers are 3-0, and they're literally running the exact same plays that we should, running the ball, playing good defense. What are your thoughts?
It's hard to fight against that, and it's getting harder and harder to fight against it every week, John. Like Sean McDermott, Sean McDermott had an out. Sean McDermott's a defensive guy. I don't know what his responsibility really is. We knew there was a – and thank you for the call. We knew there was a clear, defined responsibility for Ken Dorsey. I don't know what their clear defined responsibility is. Are you an idea man? You're a game planning man? I'm sure people start getting in on social media. Guys, it's simple. Do we really know?
Kenny, I don't know if this is the time for nitty gritty football. I do know this. This team flat out.
It's always time for nitty gritty
football. This team can't run the football out of the shotgun. Outside of the one huge run they had against Jacksonville, right? Was that fourth down? Outside of that.
On the fake sneak,
yes.
That Ford banged around the,
yes,
outside.
Yeah. Outside of that, guys, they can't run. They can't run out of the shotgun. They're not built for it. They don't have the backs for it. And then when Chubb comes back, there have been conflicting information on whether he can or can't. I just don't know what version of Nick Chubb we're getting. But the problem is, everybody agrees that Watson has to be out of the shotgun, right, to get the most out of Watson.
Yeah.
So teams are teeing off. That's what the Giants were. They knew you weren't going to run the football against them. And then what did they do? They had one to two to sometimes three extra defenders in the box. They function as run blitzes, but they can also be against the pass. And they crushed you.
I do think it can be as easy as when you're in shotgun, unless you're in a clear-cut pistol, your first move is going to be lateral. Okay, well, you need blocking.
Yes.
And we saw with the person who highlighted the, I don't remember who it was, somebody you showed me as I was walking back in the studio on Monday, somebody highlighted the Jed Wills play where it was like, hey, take your pick of one or two, and he got neither. It's like, dude, they're sending guys in. Exactly what you said. Shane Bowen is not a guy who blitzes a lot. They brought the house over half
50%,
the time. 60%
yeah.
of the time nearly. They were bringing everybody there. And they were teeing off on him. And so if we try to run we try to do RPO, I don't know. I got RPO getting blown up because my offensive line isn't that good. Do we want to try to go heavy? Well, who are we going to go heavy with because our offensive line is banged up with the injuries? And then everybody says, well, we can boot him out. Everybody keeps telling me that he doesn't like to turn his back to the defense. Even though when he decides to pull it down and run, he's turning his back to the defense plenty of times.
What does it also do? Cuts off half the field. We used to talk about this with Baker, and now you're giving him...
Because we got the same guy.
And you're giving him what?
We traded all those picks for the same guy.
On those boot plays, because they don't respect your running game, everybody knows who you're going to throw the football to. It eliminates half the field. It also squeezes all the defenders into that field. And I learned all this from Madden. So you can... take solace in the fact that I play Madden and I can get all this information.
Well, 20 years ago.
All I'm saying is it's not as easy as people make it. Oh, just run away from the defenders. It's like, it's not that easy.
Yeah, but in the middle of the game, when I'm desperate for them to win, I'm begging them to run away from the defenders.